Coming up on Roundabout, Chevrolet breaks a Guinness World Record, half a dozen baby squirrels go for a harrowing ride, and the Germans take camping to the high seas. Aye, matey. Keep your Zunpod touch tuned to the Roundabout program and take another shot. Roundabout is sponsored by Advance Auto Parts. Visit our website, roundaboutshow.com, to get up to $30 off your next purchase.
From dark and gloomy North Vale, Michigan, I'm Stephen J. Ewing from Autoblog.
From significantly more pleasant Long Beach, California, I'm Michelle Naranjo of AutoByTel.
And keeping it clean in the butthole of America, a.k.a. Raleigh, North Carolina, I'm Josh Lewis from RawAutos.com.
From Roundabout's mobile studios in, well, Ben's apartment, I'm your host, Craig Cole.
And doing this from the comfort of my own home, I'm producer Ben Sanders. Where's my robe?
This is Roundabout!
Why do you need a robe if you're wearing Michelle's pajamas?
There's no talk to my pajamas.
Exactly.
I don't want to know about the robe.
Go, whoever's reading it.
Oh, welcome to Roundabout, episode 99, our weekly chat covering car culture, vehicle reviews, and some of the auto news you may have missed.
Remember I said you could do an accent if it was good, Josh.
And consistent might have been good.
I couldn't do the Cajun very well.
Yes, accent
just came out too wild.
He's got, what would we call, accent dysgorgia or something? I don't even know what it would be called. Can't give his accent straight. Anyway, are you guys ready to party like it's episode 99? I hope you are, because that's what we're doing right here, right now, Roundabout.
You used that joke with me on the phone earlier.
Did I?
Yeah.
I don't recall.
Craig gets one joke and he uses it all the time, and then next week he thinks of one new one, and then uses that one all the time.
Joke of the week.
Well, come on now. It's hard to come up with new and original content. Anyway.
I do it every day.
Do you? Original? Informative?
Well, yeah,
factual?
Or extra crispy?
Well,
not unless he's being paid to take the content.
That's right. To skim the cream off the top, right?
Pretty much.
Yes. Ugh. Anyway, so we've got big news coming up next week for our combination two-year anniversary / 100th episode, so make sure you tune in for it. We've got a collection of your favorite ROAB personalities lined up, including Mr. Zach Bowman. You may remember him from famous shows such as Roundabout and Roundabout.
Oh, it does. It does ring a bell.
Remember that guy?
I remember that kid.
That gingery-looking feller.
Kind of foul-mouthed.
He sounds sort of familiar. I feel like I know him.
Well, perhaps you do. He's an urban legend in some areas.
He hasn't talked to me since we were in Vegas together, so.
We had a hard time wrangling him. He's like a Sasquatch from the South. But anyway, now, the Colonel and I just got back from an important meeting. We can't say anything about it right now, but we should be able to talk about it next week. So, again, stay tuned for episode 100.
We mentioned there'd be big news. I really can't tell you what it is right now, but it will be
worth listening, I think.
Yeah.
Nothing's final yet, but you'll see. So,
if you're a fan of Roundabout, you're going to want to catch this very important episode.
What if you're a panelist and you don't even have a clue?
Then
you should be there.
I encourage you to show up
And write your stories.
Wait, what if you're an occasional guest that nobody really likes? I mean,
then you never get to know.
No.
Well, you probably don't even subscribe to the show, so.
Yeah.
We'll never tell you, ever.
Actually, I should. That's a good point.
How do you subscribe to the show again?
You can do it in a number of ways. There are many outlets where fine podcasts can be subscribulated to. iTunes comes to mind, the Zune Marketplace. I'm sure there are a number of others. You could listen to it live right on the website, roundaboutshow.com. That's an option as well.
Yeah, all of these handy links, it's a coincidence, available on roundaboutshow.com.
Is that true?
It's true.
I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah.
This is crazy. I'm subscribing right now.
Well, God bless you. And listeners, you should go out there and do it too. We need all the help we can get. We need support. Lift and separate Roundabout. Separate it from the crowd. Lift it above the competition.
Yeah, and Baja Busta just reminded us, don't forget about YouTube.
Oh, yes.
That's true.
We do have a thriving YouTube channel.
And Stitcher.
And Stitcher, where you can win $100.
That's 10 of these 10 times.
Yep.
Yes.
Anyway. Yeah, that's a brilliant idea.
Steven, I think you've got your finger on the trigger right now. You're going to fire the load here.
I do.
Gunpowder.
I do. So it was an event that required a bow tie, but this one wasn't your typical formal cheese fest. This was 1,143 GM customers in Pyeongchang, Gangwon, Korea, who gathered their Spark, Aveo, Cruise, Orlando, and Captiva models into a Chevy bow tie that set a new Guinness World Record for largest car logo, measuring 688 feet in length and 221 feet in width, breaking a previous record held by Subaru in 2008. The event was to celebrate Chevy's 98% growth in its 6 months of being in Korea. 98% times nothing equals, well, 1,143 cars, I guess.
So that was all of them then, right? Joined the bow tie.
Basically.
Wow.
Two car companies that nobody cares about in general.
They sent out an email and said, if you bought one, show up.
Well, no, that's not what I've heard. I've heard Chevrolet is very popular in Korea. The Koreans like that American flavor, but I don't know.
98% more popular.
Yes.
Yeah. And you know what's amazing? Every time I'm with a Korean person, they're always asking me, hey, what's the best American restaurant in town?
And you tell them the family restaurant down the road.
McDonald's.
Waffle House. Yes.
Waffle House.
So, go to the Denny's.
Moving along, we got another little story with some international flair here. I'm not sure why this exists, but awesome is the only way to describe it, and I think you'll agree. Have you ever wanted a houseboat you could tow behind your family car? What about a camper that floats? Well, the Sealander Schwimm Caravan from Germany is the answer to your prayers. This little ditty features a configurable interior complete with a kitchenette, two berths, and even a deck, all wrapped in a petite Europe-sized package. Now every salty cur can take to the seas and get a good night's sleep while doing it. For more information about this cool but seemingly useless contraption, hit the Sealander website in the show notes on roundaboutshow.com and contact Mirko Reinhardt as well to translate, since everything is in German. Now, Michelle, I suspected you would have wanted to do this one.
I love that one.
You have a place for this with your mini horse, your mini aquatic camper?
And sure, I have RV parking behind my house.
Oh, really? You got space. You're the Long Beach. The lots must be like 10 acres.
Well, I just have a big lot for Long Beach.
Michelle's got a really big lot.
Let me tell you how big my lot is.
This is straying into uncomfortable territory.
Well, you wearing Michelle's pajamas started things off on a bad foot, Ben.
I know.
I know they're comfortable and breathable, but...
Wait, do you have enough room for a racetrack, though?
No, I don't.
We could race the Kia.
Maybe a miniature horse racetrack.
You could get one of those harness races or one of those things, carriages you jingle along behind the ponies in. Anyway, speaking of racetracks, Michelle.
Yeah, well, according to the website hotlap.com, six baby squirrels were found in the airbox of a BMW Z4 M Coupe after a BMW CCA driving school session at Watkins Glen. The babies were relocated to somewhere more safe and were apparently Canadian immigrants who came over the border with the car. Those dang Canadians will do anything to make us go, aww. The picture's cute. Isn't that cute?
It bit me. I have to go to the
doctor. Can you imagine how scared those little things must have been flying around Watkins Glen?
Whoa.
Yeah, squirrels are a member of the rodent family, are they not?
They are.
Yeah. They are?
They're rats of the trees.
Oh, they're so cute.
Oh, hell no. Look, I don't want those crawling around in my engine.
I like the one where he's looking at the grill and it looks like he's in jail.
Yeah. I love how they were probably actually in there because they were just excited to make their first turns around Watkins Glen. Since
they've done more than me.
They decided to sneak in.
They're co-pilots. How did they not get sucked into the engine or die from the pressure changes inside the airbox?
Because German cars and Germans in general are no longer allowed to kill people.
Oh, well, there you go.
Nice.
There's a special heat sensing unit in there.
Oh,
oh dear.
Okay. Well, that's perhaps more uncomfortable. But speaking of Germans and uncomfortable.
Yes.
Josh, you were all over this one for some reason.
All over it.
It should be mine.
Well, I know.
Sorry. I
let you have it, Josh. Let you have it.
That's because you love
it. With Michelle, Joey, Naranjo.
We haven't had one of these in a while.
No, we haven't.
Well, Josh Lewis
speaking
edition.
Of Michelle, you guys ever heard about this thing called face lube? Well,
no.
Supposedly it's facials for men. Wait, allow me to rephrase that, please. According to FaceLube, it's quote-unquote high-performance masculine face care for one of its products. There's anti-aging cream and assorted quote-unquote German care for a man's man. To be honest, I'm not really sure how to take this. As a guy, I've been told that creams don't work. I mean, after all, if it says it makes you bigger... never mind. Anyway, back on track. According to the website, FaceLube... This is what they say on their website. FaceLube is premium, results-based masculine men's anti-aging skincare products for a man's man. Built from the ground up for masculine men, FaceLube uses no common beauty terms with female characteristics. From the packaging, they had to say packaging. The
marketing says anti-aging horsepower.
What did you say?
It says anti-aging horsepower.
From the packaging, the marketing, to the retail environment, FaceLube is catered to the preferences of masculine men. I honestly do not know if I'd be willing to even try this. In fact, I really don't get the whole anti-aging marketing stuff. What say you guys?
Wouldn't it be more manly to have a bucket of pumice and some palm olive and scrub your face with that? I mean,
like a big old thing of that orange goo, whatever.
Yeah.
The
right.
I got to take a shower.
And lava soap. Lava soap is the best.
Ooh, lava soap.
Just rub it all on your face. Yeah.
Scour. Scour
your
face on up.
Can I just point out once more that this stuff is called face lube?
Well, at least it's face lube and not something else lube.
Mm.
Well, it's close enough. That's all I have to say.
Lubrisaur.
It's about as close as you can get to being the most uncomfortable heterosexual male in the bar going, hey, have you guys tried out a new face lube yet?
No. Hey, have you guys tried out the new face lube yet?
It's got German horsepower for your face.
No, it's German horses, not horsepower, horses. I don't even know. In fact, let's just move on because I hear there's something about a really big man in a small car.
Yeah, this is almost as repulsive to me as face lube. if you know how I feel about the car in question, that is. So 6'4", 320-pound tackle for the San Diego Chargers, Antonio Garay, I think that's how you pronounce it, drives a Smart for two with Hello Kitty on the side.
Yeah.
It's the big man in the small car thing, which sort of reminds me of the fat guy in a little coat and Tommy
fat
Boy.
Fat guy in a little coat.
Why did he have to die?
Craig
Do
is still
Do you think he pulls chicks with this thing?
Yes.
I think the only chicks he would pull with it are the kind of chicks that are either A, illegal, or B,
so elementary school aged?
18-year-old Asian girls, I'm telling you. Every girl that I know that is Asian, Hello Kitty, everything. They could be 12, 58, I don't care how old they are. If they're Asian, they love Hello Kitty. Like, I love cheeseburgers. It's disgusting.
What about Hola Gato? Well, Steven's just a big old simmering pot of hate today.
What else is new?
Surly.
All right,
moving along. Got another uncomfortable story, oddly enough. You may remember about a year ago, we featured a pedal-powered Porsche on Roundabout, complete with a creepy-looking Austrian TV journalist. Well, then again, maybe you don't, in which case, never mind. Well, today we're showcasing another Velomobile. In keeping with the international theme, this one hails from the land of General Tso and his famous chicken. It's a homemade, human-propelled Hyundai Azera. We found not one, but two videos of it on Autoblog, highlighting the construction process and people's reactions to seeing it rolling down the road, as well as pedaling through the bike lane and even trying to get fuel. Pretty amazing. I give them a D+ for craftsmanship. It looks pretty shitty. And an A+ for creativity. I want one of these.
You don't?
You don't?
Or?
Just because. Why wouldn't you want one, Michelle? It's cool.
Especially in Long Beach.
I want the knitted Ferrari.
Yeah, I know.
Don't you have to live in San Francisco to really love the pedal-powered Hyundai Azera?
Well, what if every passenger could pedal? Hmm?
That would just suck, because then you get your friends in there like, hey, let's go over here. You know, you got two people pedaling the opposite way. You can actually essentially drift in a pedal-powered car.
I think that it has steering. Josh.
Yes.
Pedals.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah,
pedals don't determine the direction.
Well, all I'm thinking, no, what I'm thinking about is the, I'm thinking of like the little pedal things that you put on the little pedal boats on the lake and stuff like that. When one person pedals and you're like, would you pedal? And they're like, no, I don't really feel like it. And you're just going around in a circle, you know, like you're like, damn it, pedal.
At least they use the new Azera, like the one that is coming to America next year.
Horrible. Although I'm a little disappointed. This one is rear wheel drive, though.
No.
Yeah. Not
you know
completely
what's funny?
Accurate.
It looks a lot like my Spectra.
From 2001?
I mean, same condition, too, yeah.
All wrinkly and... Mm-hmm. Well, it's not rusting, it's made out of plastic, but there you go. Hit the link in the show notes, roundaboutshow.com. You can check out the videos for yourselves.
I used to sell these crappy cars, by the way. I used to sell Mazda Kia brand new, and I sold a ton of crappy used Honda Azeras, and I wanted to burn every one of them to the ground. They all had the same disgusting interior scent.
Oh, what's a Honda Azera?
What did I say?
That's what you said.
Honda Azera.
Honda, Azera. I'm sorry. Hyundai Azera. I'm sorry.
Hyundai.
It's Hyundai, like Sunday.
Mm, but, you know, I'm really curious. Could this car tell if the people were drunk buying it? Actually, that was a horrible lead-in. Hang on.
Michelle, you're next. How's that for a segue? Go.
An Auburn Hills-based Takata business and its partner, TrueTouch, have received $2.25 million award from the Automotive Coalition for Traffic Safety to further their creation of a car start button that will measure alcohol blood levels. They have a long way to go, needless to say. The current alcohol sensing device is the size of a bread box. Craig, do you know how big a bread box is?
Mm.
You do?
It's large.
Craig lives in the 1930s, remember?
Of course I understand the size of a bread box, Michelle. Why do you ask a silly question like that?
And when a forearm is placed on the machine, near infrared light shines through the skin, bounces back, processes it through a spectroscope, and gives you the information on the blood alcohol levels. The process currently takes 1 minute and can be programmed to recognize cellular fingerprints to avoid someone taking the test in place of the drunk. The potential problems: how do you fit a bread box into a start button? Reducing the time it takes to measure into a reasonable start time for the car, and user recognition issues. It sounds like a boondoggle.
Oh, well, yeah. Mm.
Yes. Oh, here comes the serial rapist tracking me down. Let me start my car to get away. Oh, now I gotta sit here for a minute and a half.
Right. Or are you gonna say to your buddy, hey, will you start my car for me?
What about remote start?
Like in 40-Year-Old Virgin, hey, will you blow into this for me?
Exactly.
What's this for? Oh, it's just, you know, suggested by the judge.
Yes. Yeah. Let's hope this does not become a feature on vehicles going forward.
Yes, because I'm drunk every day I get in my car. Drunk on life.
Okay, I'm glad you clarified. I'm glad for that. But yeah... What happened to just simple responsibility? That's what I want to know. That's a strong value, a bedrock of families, you know?
I think it died with Hitler.
Oh, okay. Well, why don't you tell us about him?
Well, speaking of Hitler...
Well, that's just convenient you brought him up.
We always like a good history lesson on Roundabout.
And you know, always love a good segue, too.
I will give you...
Non sequitur.
A Stig Hitler lesson, okay? Some say he's the reason for the Beatle. Some say he's the greatest antichrist of all time.
Mm.
All we know is he's called the Hitler.
I didn't know he got the definitive article there, the Hitler.
Yeah. Well, there's only one, Stephen. Let's be clear. You can't be a Hitler.
Yes.
I mean, okay.
Or an
he
Hitler.
He was a Hitler. His
Let's
name
think
was
about it this way, though. How many people have you ever known that were either named Adolf or Hitler outside of that guy?
Well, they all changed their name to, like... Hister or something. No, yeah, they changed it to Hitler.
The closest I've ever seen was Himmler. You know, it's like, even that's bordering, you know. But supposedly, this Hitler tried to actually get out of a speeding ticket in 1931 by saying, "It wasn't me. I'm my lookalike," driving a supercharged Mercedes-Benz limousine in
Bar Ebenhausen,
south of Ingolstadt, on September 19th, 1931. Traveling at a speed of 55.3 kilometers per hour, or because we're American and we have a better speed limit, 34.3 miles per hour.
That's speeding?
In, in real driving measurement, like I said, he was going twice the posted speed limit and was to receive an immediate license ban. Now I ask myself, how was he caught in a day where radar was barely even being used in a war?
Mm-hmm.
Two police officers with stopwatches timed him going 200 meters in 13 seconds, which is how they supposedly attain the average speed of the Hitler Benz, or should I say the Bond burner.
Oh.
Too soon? Too yeah. soon? Well, Hitler swears it wasn't him, and that it was actually his chauffeur, Julius Schreck, whom he told to drive as fast as possible, but with no reason given. And I'm sure if good old Addy were still with us today, he'd be still claiming his innocence to at least one thing, a speeding ticket.
And the moral of the story is?
Don't speed in a supercharged Mercedes-Benz when you look like Adolf Hitler.
Or Princess Diana.
Mm. No, wear your seatbelt and don't sit on the floor.
What if they like take it off?
Then
take
James
it
Bond
off.
Shows up the door, shoots me in the chest.
Wow. So he has a long history of breaking the law. Then I never yeah. knew.
Well, it wasn't. Most of those things weren't laws by the time he got there. It was just things you shouldn't do.
Like, common decency.
Yeah, like, you know, masturbating on an airplane. Thanks
what?
A lot, Bin Laden.
Well, okay.
Okie dokie.
Michelle gave it her nod of approval, apparently.
Oh, my God. I'm just one sound bite after another.
Yeah, you don't
minutia,
know.
Minutia.
And that wraps up the newsy part of the show. So if you've been fast-forwarding through the boring bits, you can hit play now. We'll keep things rolling with Michelle Naranjo from AutoByTel.com, Jerry Lewis from Raw Autos, and, of course, Stephen J. Ewing, the Autoblog man. And after the break, we'll take a peek in the rearview mirror and go for each other's throats in the Versus segment. What? But now, I need to take a moment to talk about our good friends.
A serious note.
At Advance Auto Parts. Mm-hmm. If you follow the link on the right-hand sidebar of our website, mm-hmm. roundaboutshow.com, that can
not
be
right
your...
Not right now. It'll stop the streaming.
That will be your ticket to major savings. Okay?
I'm listening intently.
Follow mm-hmm. that link, mm-hmm. right-hand sidebar of the roundaboutshow.com website.
Yes.
Click on that. Enter the promotion code and you can save $10 off an order of $30, $20 off an order of $50, $30 off an order exceeding $100.
Hmm? Ooh.
And the Hall brothers are impressed.
Man.
Again, that is $10 off $30, $20 off $50, or $30 off $100. That's nearly a third off. I need to remind you again? That is nearly one third off the price.
This is just crazy. Tell me that again, please.
It's nearly one third off.
Oh, my God.
I know. So, again, in order to get these big savings, you got to go to our website.
How much is it off? I'm sorry.
It's a lot,
it.
Ben. Go to
take
our...
it off!
A full third, in fact.
Yes. Well, not quite nearly.
Oh,
an almost full.
Does Michelle want me to take it off?
No. So, again, that's roundaboutshow.com. Click on the Advance Auto Parts website link on the right-hand sidebar. And enter the promo code when you check out, and you will be saving some big bucks. And, again, if your order exceeds $75, you are eligible for... free shipping. Delivered right to your door at no cost. Of course,
your dough?
Door to your dough. Of course, you can always pick things up in the store if you prefer. That is always an option. Visit the friendly folks at Advance Auto Parts. And even if you're not in the market for replacement parts or aftermarket parts, you can still follow the link to show them that you care about us and them, because we thank them for their support of Roundabout Show.
In fact, we do.
Did I miss anything, Ben?
I don't think you'd...
You're looking pretty scornful over there, and I'm not sure why.
No. No scorn at all.
Mm-hmm.
I think...
Just a guilty conscience.
This is a great deal.
It's a steal.
I agree, Christian.
He was...
Aw. Ben even keeps him around when he's not here.
I miss my co-host.
That's love.
Coast.
My coast.
So, again, Advance Auto Parts, we thank them for their support of the Roundabout Show, and you should, too. Moving along, it is time for our next segment. We're going to take a misty-eyed look at things from the past. So, Ben, I think you have to start playing the musical sting that we've called for in the rundown here.
Uh-huh.
So, you know.
What?
It's for...
Stretch.
It's for the roundabout rearview segment, where we take a look at things from the past. We tend to be a rather eclectic podcast here.
Mm-hmm.
So we like to, you know, bring some historical depth context to the show.
Well, let's do that.
All right, let's go.
When I go a-motoring in my old jalopy,
I think of all our picnics, those Joes show us sloppy. But more than anything, I can't forget you. Here's another edition of Roundabout
Radio.
So I can't help but
Josh, that
was happening. I'm looking at the live cameras, and yes. Josh just started cracking up.
Ben spent an entire night writing that.
I then mercy laughed, like how people mercy puke. Yes. I mercy laughed.
See, isn't that what makes Roundabout awesome?
I'm sorry, that was funny. That was hysterical. It sounded just like a mentally challenged Adam Sandler.
Wow.
That's kind. That's what
mentally
that is.
Challenged on his own.
We were hoping it sounded like it came from a wax cylinder, Josh, but, you know... You can call it how you see it. That's fine.
That's exactly what it sounded like.
Wow.
I think it's fantastic, Ben. I love it.
And he also tried to use GarageBand to make an appropriately old-timey theme song to go along with it, but he just couldn't swing it.
Actually, having no musical talent. Send that to me, exactly. I love that. I'm listening to it every day in my car.
You should make it your ringtone. Oh, I know, I'm motoring.
Wait, can we distribute that as the special Roundabout Show ringtone?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Indeed.
High five, air five, Michelle. Everybody, Steven, you're not doing it right, per usual. All right, there we go. Air five, great. Yep.
And by the way, Steven, you're not wearing your hood as promised.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm trying to high five both of them.
Well, Michelle.
Gorski's not here yet.
Wrong way, Josh.
Other way, Josh.
There we go. Okay, Steven, back what you were doing there. High five.
That's kind.
I have really big hands.
Do you want me to wear the hood as promised?
I'll tell you what. That high five played really well on radio.
Scott in Cleveland says his favorite Sting is still Taking It to the Max.
Taken. I won't do it.
No, we don't need to hear that. Definitely.
All right, Craig,
not. What
do we got here? What do we got?
We got a video here that you found, or somebody did, of an old Puget 205 GTI spot that proves why computer-generated graphics stink. This is an old commercial, I understand, for an automobile.
I understand that as well.
A French vehicle.
I think Zach Bowman.
Bowmanator.
The aforementioned Zach Bowman found this.
It is
the
awesome.
French make cars?
Not good ones, but they do make automobiles. It's got
Look
an airplane.
It go.
It's got explosions. It's got a guy with a bow tie and a tux on. It's presumably some sort of James Bond-esque character. Looks like a French version of like a C-5 Galaxy transport plane flying over it, dropping explosives, like little dynamite sticks. They're falling. They're driving on a glacier, too. Can you believe that? A glacier. These little rockets land in the ground. They're blowing up smoke. The car's fishtailing through these explosions. Boom, boom, boom. The guy's cool as a cucumber. Look at that. He's got to meet his hot date who's drinking. There we go. I don't speak French, but sure.
205 GTI, plus GTI que jamais.
Whoa.
That was sexy.
Michelle, you speak them kind of languages, don't you?
Yeah, all he said was the name of the car and said, it's the GTI that I love.
So he doesn't like the woman he's presumably going to have relations with?
Well, she was pre-partying, so he may not look down upon that so well.
Now... Do you know why that commercial could never happen today?
Do tell.
Bombs? Explosions?
Because of global warming, folks, because of Al Gore, we found out that we have no more glaciers. In fact, there's no more ice anywhere. It's all desert.
Yeah, we had to defrost the fridge at work when we were moving. Definitely global warming in the office.
So, we'd be driving on desert or the fridge from work.
Desert is like dessert, but with half as many S's.
You know, I don't even have anything to say.
Steven, you've been awfully quiet on these issues. What is running through your mind?
Just trying to not lash out.
Bury that hatred deep inside and never tell anyone.
Is it because of me?
No.
Oh,
no.
I figured it was my Al Gore joke.
I thought about something, a funny Al Gore joke that I had heard. I was listening to the Car Talk podcast maybe like a month or so ago now. And they were doing a thing in the beginning about like the world's shortest books, one of which was titled Al Gore, The Wild Years.
Car Talk, aren't they like our grandpappies in the podcasting world?
basically. Mm-hmm.
They
basically.
Do a it's a radio program, I understand.
Take yeah, it shot. Is on the NPRs.
Yes, yes.
Actually, Nippers. It's funny. I have many people ask me if I know what the Car Talk show is. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, I know what it is. Never really listened. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, you should. They know a lot about cars.
They're the Throttle Twins, aren't they, Ben?
I have no idea.
Throttle Twins?
Everybody
whoever those guys
click,
are.
Click and Clack? The yeah. Tappet Brothers?
Sure, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Everybody tells me they're really funny and they know a lot about cars and they make fun of people.
Well, I like that. Is it mildly anti-Semitic?
I hope so, for anybody.
It's not Roab, though.
Oh, that's right. Oh, dear. Well, we're getting in trouble now. So, yeah, there you go. Great little commercial for Peugeot. The 205 GT. Do any of you guys know what year that was from, by chance? Pray tell.
1887, maybe.
Wow. It's an old one. It's an oldie but a goodie. And I think that's why it qualified for a roundabout rear view. You know?
Aww.
You know, I mean,
as I
it's...
drink my organic apple juice.
Apple juice from a juice box?
Yes, actually.
From the guy who rips on Al Gore. He's drinking organic apple juice.
Mm-hmm. Al Gore Jabra.
Perfect.
He probably also drinks Rush Limbo.
Limbo?
Lemonade.
Oh, I was going to say Kool-Aid, but okay.
He makes a lemonade.
Actually.
Oh, does he? That's great.
I drink Arnold Palmer's. Thank you very much.
Arnie I Palmer. Love a good Arnold Palmer. I once went to an Olga's for lunch, and instead of asking the waitress for an Arnold Palmer, I ordered a Robert Palmer.
Actually, to be truthful and honest, what I don't even know if that goes together, but that is one of my
it's
favorite
redundant, right?
musicians, acts, entertainers, anything. I love Robert Palmer.
I love all the mannequin type chicks in the background of his videos.
Mm-hmm.
I know. I was going to ask if your glass of. Robert Palmer showed up with red lipstick on the glass.
I don't know who you're talking about, but it's funny.
Oh boy,
actually,
it's clever is what it is.
Well, I have some things to say, but this is not a musical show. This is a car show.
Is it? Anyway, as you know, we've got another segment coming up. It's everyone's favorite new game.
Versus?
Yes.
Versus. You're saying it's Versus.
It's time for the Versus segment, Ben.
Versus.
Ooh. So here we go again. As you know, in this game, two panelists debate the merits and demerits of one particular vehicle for three rounds, and the other two pick a winner. Now, we've got to draw names out of a hat that we did not pre-prepare, Ben, so I'm going to let you randomize those while I discuss some of the rules of the program.
Please do.
Yes. So... like I mentioned, we will have three different rounds. We will decide, as Ben is doing right now, who will be the pro, who will be the con, and who will be the judges. Two will be the judges, one will be pro, one will be con. The pro and con will face off in a battle to the death, as it were, to convince the judges that their viewpoint on a particular vehicle in each of the rounds is the right one. So, Ben, who is going to be what?
All right, so here's what we've got.
What? What?
From my hat, I will choose a piece
Let's
of paper.
Let's see your hat.
He's on the other side. Here it is. He wears
yep, there it
it's
is.
His miniature fez he wears. It's from Tim Hortons.
It's that sort of hat.
Mm.
So, number one is Russell, and it's Michelle.
And she
Michelle
is.
Will be a, let's see, pick a number two piece of paper, judge. Michelle will be a judge. Lucky her.
Yay me.
She gets
Yay
to do bees. What she loves best.
Cutting right. people down.
That's a mighty small hat you have there, Ben.
I know. All right. Another number one paper. This is Josh. Josh
what
is going to be.
Joshua going to be.
Khan. Josh will be Khan.
Khan.
So I love hating on vehicles.
Lucky Josh. Here's another one. Craig will be judge.
Great.
As usual. That means Steven is, in fact, pro. So, are we ready?
Arguing against the great Steve.
So remember, we will have a primary round followed by a rebuttal round. The main round, 45 seconds. The rebuttal, 15 seconds. We have three rounds to go. Ben, what, or should I say what, is our first vehicle? Coming courtesy of the Auto Biddle.
Yes, as always.
Aww,
our good friends at Auto Bytel. Our first pick is the 2012 Mini Cooper Countryman.
Countryman.
Ooh.
And going first today, as I have randomized, will be
Steven. So, Steven, on my mark, when you hear my bell.
Oh, and before we get started, I got to make a note. Judges, so Michelle, make sure you have an open Word document or just scrap a paper.
It's a text file.
Great. All right, Ben, you may proceed at will.
When you hear my bell, you will have 45 seconds. 3, 2, bell!
All right, the Countryman. The Countryman is a sort of new breed of small crossover that it's in a segment with like the Nissan Juke of like really awesome, fun to drive little crossovers. You know, there was a lot of weirdness surrounding the Countryman when it first came out because people were like, oh, it's a Mini. Mini doesn't make crossovers. It's a Mini. But honestly, the Countryman is perhaps like the most fun to drive CUV ever. Well, maybe not ever, but you get a ton of functional space. It's super cute. It's surprisingly efficient. It's great in all four seasons. It's just an excellent all-rounder for people who don't need a ton of space, like a larger crossover, even something like a Honda CR-V. But
I'm afraid your time is out.
It's like a samurai sword cutting him off, Ben.
All right, Josh is next, and at the sound of my bell,
ding,
it'll be
ding.
Time to be a con. Go!
All right, now the Mini Countryman sucks, and here's why. It's not truly that mini. It's actually kind of large, but it's actually not even that large. Mini says it's not mini, but it's not large. So what the hell is it then? Well, it's about the same size as a Honda Fit, and the last time I saw one of those, I wanted to have a Fit because it made me vomit. I do not like the interior space of
rapper.
It, which the Mini Countryman has about the same of. The Mini Countryman actually, it drives well. It doesn't drive like a sporty Mini. It has four seats where there's no leg room, two little sliding cup holders, and it's just kind of a pointless vehicle for Mini to build. I do not understand this vehicle at all. I do not understand why they needed to make something that they call a crossover.
Time is up. Steven, it's time for your rebuttal round.
You got the brass knuckles on?
I can do this.
What about the trench knuckles with the integrated knife?
At the sound of my bell, you will have 15 seconds to rebut. And rebut.
I can say this. I've spoke with people at Mini, and the reason why they built the Countryman is because there were a large excess of people that came in and said that the Clubman was just too small for what they need and that they can still have all the benefits of a Mini. Too late!
You're out of time.
All right, balls!
Ben, you don't have to have a seizure when he's getting close to the end there.
I'm a podcast Hitler.
I know you are. A little podcast Nazi.
At the sound of my bell, Josh will have 15 seconds to rebut.
Are you ready?
It could come at any time. You never know when. Bell!
So here's the thing. The Clubman sucks because it was a wannabe. Well, who knows what the hell it was. It wasn't anything, and it doesn't really work, and so they made the Countryman. What does the Countryman do? Nothing. It is pointless. Make more small Minis. Make the Mini smaller, or just make one gigantic SUV.
The Mini Expedition, then.
Exactly.
Okay.
Call it the Mini something.
All right, so now, Michelle, we are the judges this week.
Week?
What were some of your thoughts on this first round? Pluses, minuses?
I think Steven gave a really good summary, and his rebuttal was, you know, pretty concise, although he didn't manage to make it in time. I think he actually was responding to somebody who uses the word suck too much.
Okay. Ooh. Ouch, ouch, ouch. So, yeah, it was great. Good arguments on each side. I'm impressed by both of them. Nobody really fell apart like sometimes happens in round one where somebody just rolls over and dies and the other person has their way with the round. So I'm glad that we have a fair match here. Pretty evenly balanced in my book. But we shall see. We shall see what comes up.
Are we ready for round two?
I do believe.
I think so.
Let's go.
All right. Our round two vehicle is none other than the 2012 Lincoln MKZ Hybrid. This time we start with Josh, the con, and at the sound of my bell, he will have 45 seconds. Bell.
Okay, the MKZ Hybrid. That's all I've got to say, really. It's just, it's a Lincoln midsize sedan with a hybrid powertrain. Doesn't really get, I mean, it gets, you know, decent gas mileage, but it's also almost, it's like 35 grand. I mean, what's the point in that? I mean, I don't see the point in a car that's a hybrid, but wait, it's still a car. It's supposed to be really comfortable and luxurious and doesn't really do much else. It's not really fast. It's not really slow. It's just kind of there. Decent 41 miles per gallon in the city, 36 miles per gallon on the highway. That's where hybrids always fall apart, is on the highway. And Lincoln making a hybrid? I'm sorry, but every Lincoln...
You're done.
That's not very organized argument there. I don't know.
That was such a horrible con anyway.
Yes.
Couldn't think of anything off the top of my head.
Steven, are you ready?
One hopes.
Ready and willing. All right. Thing about the MKZ hybrid is it's the most fuel efficient luxury hybrid currently available in the United States. It's larger it's a bit larger than the Lexus HS250H hybrid, which is just not even as efficient. It's more expensive. It's got a lot of tech, but so does the MKZ. You can get all sorts of good stuff in there. All the latest Ford infotainment. Sync. Sync. Everyone likes Sync.
And Sync.
But... Duh. I mean, honestly, like if you're looking for a small or mid-sized luxury sedan and you want excellent fuel economy like that, what else are you going to get? Nothing else gets 41 miles per gallon in that segment. So
that sounds like the end of an argument.
Sort of awesome.
And you're under time. Good job, you.
Ooh, wow.
All right, Josh, it's time for your rebuttal round. I think you know what to do.
All right, so basically it's a more expensive Ford Fusion hybrid. I mean, what's the point in that with a Lincoln grill, Lincoln steering wheel? I mean, why not just go buy a Ford Fusion hybrid? You know, if it's the most fuel-efficient luxury hybrid, well, you can't really call the Lexus hybrids really that luxurious. Dang it.
Oh, darn.
I should have spoke faster like I did the last time.
Steven?
Okay, yeah, you could just go buy a Ford Fusion hybrid. And save a little bit of money. But the Lincoln offers this sort of up-level appointment and luxury that you're just not going to get in the Ford. And the price isn't all that much more expensive. You get what you pay for.
Very well done.
God, in under time again.
I know.
Here's what's
He's
really
an overachiever.
I underachieving.
What's really sad is that I actually like the MKZ hybrid.
Well, you didn't have to defend the Smart 4.2, so shut your trap. How about that? Cost me the round. Cost me the game, Ben.
Craig, what are your thoughts on this round?
Not as fiery as round one. I'm not going to lie. I was a little disappointed by this round. Kind of flaccid arguments
Reserved.
On both sides. Yes, it was just there's not much fire in their bellies over the MKZ. Maybe it's just the vehicle of choice. Maybe they don't have as much hatred as we initially thought for each other. We'll see what goes down in round three.
It's even keeled, so we can't really be like we're supposed to keep soft voices when we argue about hybrids.
You don't want the neighbors to get called for domestic violence charges again.
Exactly.
Yeah, I understand.
Exactly. I'm trying to be nice.
All right.
Got this guy next door screaming about green cars. It's ridiculous.
Michelle, what were your thoughts round two? Just finished it up here.
Well, I think Josh, as a fan of the MKZ, is actually he had a rough go of it there because it's the argument with the Fusion and the Lincoln is obviously the it is affordable luxury, right? And the interior is far superior to the Fusion. So unfortunately he had that going against him and it's not really his fault.
Ouch.
All right. Wow. So that's a little analysis on round two. So Ben, I understand we do three rounds.
Mm-hmm. I understand that
is
as well.
Is that the next round?
That would be the next round. We just did two. Mm. One, two, three. Yes.
So correct. Is that then the final round as well?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
Yep.
And then we pick a winner?
What's our vehicle?
That we do pick a winner.
And then we're done?
And then we get chicken dinner?
I can get Indian food?
Winner, winner, chicken dinner!
No, we're Indian food.
Winner, winner, Sheen dinner.
That's the sound that's the round three sound.
All right, what's it going to be?
All right, round three, the 2012 Lamborghini Aventador, which I'm sure you all have driven, so that should make this very easy. So, this time we start with Steven again. He's pro. That sounded my bell.
Okay. You don't really need to say much about the Aventador because it's the frickin' Lamborghini Aventador. It's like the hottest Lambo. It's the new awesomeness. It's like one of the sexiest cars ever made. It's red. It's awesome. It's got angles and it goes fast and it makes a really sweet noise. It's like every car enthusiast's wet dream come true. It's like just this unattainable, just amazing. Just, it's the coolest, guys.
He just went back to being 8 years old.
And it looks really nice. That's all I have to say.
All right, and I believe you are under time again.
Again.
Josh, it's your turn. And...
All right, it's a Lamborghini, so everybody expects it to be the coolest, greatest thing on the planet. But it's not. I mean, let's be honest here. How many more exotic cars do you need to see with exotic douchebags behind the wheel? Oh. I mean, these cars are not exactly driven by the car enthusiasts of the world. They're driven by the people you want to punch in the face and throw in the river because it's a good start. I mean, this car doesn't go towards me or Steven anymore. It goes towards the idiot because those are the only ones that, for some ungodly known reason, can actually afford one. And it's cool, but it's just not cool anymore. Where are you going to use it? Are these guys going to racetracks? No. They're doing burnouts in a parking lot at Publix, and it's ridiculous. Nobody needs 6.5 liters. Nobody needs 12 cylinders. This is just getting annoying. $375,000.
Sneaking in under the bell there.
That's right. Do you object, Craig?
No. It was within the chimes of the bell.
Sustained. Yes.
Over-sustained or whatever it is.
Yeah. Yes. All right. Time for our rebuttal rounds.
All right.
That means you have 15 seconds, and we start with Steven.
You can say all the negative stuff you want about the Aventador. Truth is, if someone came up to you and said, "Hey, Josh, I just got a new Aventador. Do you want to drive it?" You would say yes, and you wouldn't even think twice about it. Don't lie. Don't lie. You would.
Ouch.
You want that car. We all want that car.
I'm ready to rebut on this one.
Let's see your rebut.
All right, Josh.
Yeah, well, it's just like the Nissan GTR I just drove the other day because somebody told me I had to drive it. So they gave me the keys, and I said, "Oh, my God, I get to drive a Nissan GTR." And then I got out of it and said, "I'm going back to my M3, which actually has soul and a manual transmission." There. That's the last thing I said.
Speaking, well, I got a there. Little comment there. Speaking of like douchebags.
There.
So there.
We're seeing teeth now.
Oh boy. So Josh, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
You comment on the Deutsch bags. Yet you admit to driving a BMW M3.
Oh yeah. No, believe me, I've had my fair share of run-ins with those guys too, especially telling them to stop driving BMWs because
I feel like we've had this conversation before. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Are they guys that live near your summer house?
I don't have a summer house. I have a house that I go to every couple of weeks to unwind because it's
which is a summer house
on the Jersey Shore. So
the Jersey Shore.
do the other folks? We'll call them folks that drive the M3. I'm assuming you're talking E46.
I'm E90.
Oh, the new one, the 4-liter V8.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, the fancy, new, expensive, very expensive one.
Actually, I bought it for really, really cheap. By
so comparison. $50,000. Great.
Less than that.
Oh, all right. Well, there you go.
Yep.
So did you get the dual clutch automatic? No, you got the manual.
Oh, no. I'm not a douchebag, good sir. I actually know how to use my third leg.
But there are three pedals, and I only have 2 feet.
Yes. Right. And as a beautiful girl I know once told me, a man should only drive with as many pedals as he has legs.
Okay.
Well, that's too
stay
deep.
On target.
We're too close.
Stay on target.
Let's talk about this round, Craig.
So Michelle. Let's
okay, Michelle.
I want to hear the woman's perspective on this douchebaggery going on.
Well, I think that, you know, Stephen managed to kind of pull it out in the rebuttal because he acts like an 8-year-old in the first sort of section. But
I won't deny that. I won't.
It was cute. But, you know, Josh has some really good points there about, you know, this is a very expensive car that's kind of driven by,
Bay-bays.
That. those kind of people.
Yep.
The guys who wear Lamborghini t-shirts, hats, pants, jeans.
And underwear. Lots of jewelry, I'm sure.
And they have trophy wives.
Tons of jewelry.
Jewelry. All right. Well, let's score these rounds now, shall we?
Let's just admit that I won.
Michelle, okay. Who did you?
We'll call a show and we'll drink a beer
Steven,
and we'll have a weekend.
Overruled.
I will have order in this courtroom.
Just saying, it's an idea.
Disgorged, disbarred, whatever. Michelle, round one, miniature countrymen. Who took home gold in this round?
I think that Stephen won it just for use of grown-up language in that one, actually.
Miniature like a miniature horse, like Joy, who we love.
All right.
And BMW is Joy, and
hey,
BMW makes horses.
He is pandering to the judge.
All right, well, okay, so you...
I can be bought, so...
I will buy you two more miniature horses.
I'll buy you a miniature countryman.
Well, he can afford to buy you a racehorse if he's driving an M3.
Exactly.
All right. See, I gave this one to Josh because, let me explain. I went along with his argument that the Mini Countryman is a confused vehicle. It's rather pointless, too. I've driven one. It's not that great on the road.
It's sweet.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But it's not what you think. It's how they argued it, Craigie.
And I like the way he argued it because he brought up some very relevant points, Michelle.
Well, the Honda Fit.
Yes. Yes.
It's the same size, but it's supposed to be a crossover.
All right. So we are currently – we have one for Josh, one for Steven. Lincoln MKZ Hybrid. Michelle, who did you cast your ballot for in this round number two, Lincoln MKZ Hybrid?
This one was hard. I mean, I have to give it to Steven because Josh had a really hard battle here because there's not a lot you can say bad about it considering that it's, you know, it is the price point that it is. It's priced the same as the regular version. It's, you know, so I think, unfortunately, I'm sorry, Josh.
No, it's okay. I got to give this one up to Steven anyway.
Yeah, I didn't like any of the arguments, so I didn't vote on this round.
Now Steven's up.
They both sucked. They both sucked.
And now Craig abstains in more than one way.
Mm-hmm.
Craig, I don't like you anymore.
Well, you shouldn't like your performance, Josh, because it was terrible. Anyway, third and final round, Lamborghini Aventador. Steven was pro, Josh was con. Who carried gold here? I voted for Joshua.
And why?
I don't know. I just thought his douchebaggeriness was...
Aventador, damn it. Have you seen it?
Who needs another cookie cutter supercar? Come on. Look at the demographic they appeal to.
I don't want to buy one, but
see?
Crap, I'll drive it.
Why don't you want to buy one, Steven?
I don't have $30 billion.
Wait, no. Is it because that one of the members of the Jersey Shore will actually be driving past you, waving his middle finger at you? Is that why you don't ever want to buy one?
No.
Because you have style, taste, and an honest ability to actually... be a good human being.
I'd rather buy like 200 Honda Fits.
Yeah, exactly.
You could chain them together and make a Fit Barge or something.
A whole stable of Honda Fits.
No, it's because at some point in my life I want to start my racing series called the 24 Hours of Honda Fit.
I thought we were doing that with the
Redacted.
Yeah, 24 Hours of
Redacted.
Oh my god, I couldn't drive the
Redacted
for 24 seconds.
That's the point.
That's the point.
I know, but I would shoot. You got to put a gun in everybody's car. The end of the race is actually somebody not shooting themselves.
Wow. Coarse language. All right, Michelle, who did you vote for?
I'm going to go with Josh on this one. I don't understand how this is going to add up because you didn't vote on the second round.
I abstained. So we've got the first round was a draw. Second round went to Steven. Third round went to Josh. That means we have to go to the chat room as the tiebreaker. Chat room.
Come on.
Chat room.
Fist pump.
Pepper W99. I don't know who the hell you are, but vote.
Oh, what the hell? Steven?
Baja Busta says Steven.
I should be winning. Clearly.
We got to vote for Steven from Baja Busta.
That's right.
This is
you guys are all excellent.
Scott in Cleveland. Who took Steven?
You're all fantastic.
Steven.
Look at all of these people.
The votes are rolling in. Looks like looks like the Electoral College has weighted heavily towards Mr. Ewing.
Fry Guy 177 says Steven. Scott in Cleveland says Steven.
And Scott in Cleveland said it all.
And
because Steven carried... this
we
round.
Have best listeners in the world.
And the car experts on this show voted for whom? the car expert who actually was able to rebut three cars.
And to be fair, I did not vote for you.
Wait, let me just say the Mini
just
Countryman.
Just saying.
Pepper W99 says one vote for Sarah Palin. No, thank you.
Just because.
Fair enough.
She has foreign over me. Relations.
I'm going
experience.
To go shoot myself and drive home in my
redacted.
Is that what you really drive?
No. Well, I would throw myself off a river.
Don't harm yourself, Josh, just because you lost. There's always another day. Tomorrow's another one.
Baja Busta said you needed face lube for your rebut.
I've got to say, the Mini Countryman, I like. The MKZ Hybrid, I like. The Aventador, if somebody gave me the keys to it, I would never, ever, ever tell them no.
I'm going to show you something. Hold on a second.
Well, there you have it, folks. The chat room, the people have spoken, and Stephen J. Ewing carries this episode of Versus full term.
That's right.
I'm awesome.
Winner!
And that sound means we have a show.
And that Josh is, in fact, a loser.
Greatest guy on earth.
He fell in the lava, it sounds like.
Yeah, it does.
Well, there you
like
go.
That.
So, thank you guys for joining us this week. Stephen J. Ewing from none other than the Autoblog, autoblog.com. You were just on a press trip, I understand, up in the northeastern region.
I was.
And you can't tell us about it yet.
No.
Can you at least tell us what vehicle you were driving?
I was driving the 2012 Subaru Impreza.
Is it still ugly?
Yes.
That he can say.
When does the embargo come off?
You guys can all read my review of the 2012 Impreza this Monday over at the Autoblog.
Very nice. We do appreciate your performance and your willingness to help us on this show, Stephen. You are a trooper.
Always and forever.
Oh, God bless you. Michelle Naranjo, autobytel.com.
Yes.
Present, sir.
Yes.
Go ahead now. Don't be timorous.
What are you working on?
You know what this round. You know what? You've been on here 100 episodes, Michelle. Gosh darn near.
Gosh darn. Actually, it is more than 100 because remember, we had some we never actually played in public.
And if you're lucky, you might get to hear those on episode 100. So don't tell anyone. Quiet,
too.
On the what?
The 100th episode.
Wait, we've done 100?
Not next yet, week. But next week we will have.
Next week we're doing 100 episodes?
In one day.
Michelle at AutoByTel, autobymichelle.com.
I actually had Jeff Ross, my little assistant editor, in the office this week with me in California. That was kind of fun.
Why was he out there?
Why? Well, he came to visit.
Visit? You don't say.
Yeah.
Wow. Gosh almighty. Well, that must have been a wonderful old time down there. A ball.
Yeah, it was.
Just a hoot.
Charger SRT8. And I learned that, you know, on the Fusion Hybrid, there's like the little thing that grows leaves. And I was all concerned about people watching that and not driving correctly. Well, Jeff was obsessed with in the navigation screen in the center stack. They actually have this thing on the SRT8 charger that shows you how fast you're going and the horsepower. Mm-hmm. And so Jeff would get it up to like 430 horsepower and going 85 miles an hour on a side street. And he was never looking at the road.
Oh, that's good. When that mother pushes her stroller out in the road and, oh, my baby.
Everything going all over the place.
It's like a melon dropped off a roof. Just
yeah. We had fun.
Very good. And everybody survived and nobody got hurt. Even better.
Exactly.
Yeah. Josh Lewis from Rottos.com.
Rottos.
Have you thought of shortening that for the Twitter age?
Eliminating by one letter? The major economizing.
I used to call it the raw, and then I realized that was the dumb. It sounds like a sneeze. I'm sneezing every time I say it. Like, people are like, oh, so what's your website? I'm like, Rottos, you know, and they're like, I'm sorry, Gesundheit, you know, so I really should come up with a better name, maybe, but I don't really care. I just have to say, if you want to write on my website,
you can pay him. Yes.
If I don't email you first, you must pay me, actually. And believe it or not, some people are dumb enough to do that.
So is this like the sashimi of the auto website world?
What do you mean the
uncooked?
I don't know. I don't know. It is up to the non-Asian people who don't know the difference between sushi and sushimi or sushami, whatever. Sushimi. There you go. So well, sushimi. God.
Well, we'll leave it at that. Ben, the Colonel Slanders. Thank you.
You are welcome.
Yeah, very good. Great hustle.
Thanks.
Yes.
Ben, what are you up to this week?
I'm editing the podcast, I
tell
you. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And finishing the movie.
Craig?
Yeah.
What are you up to?
As little as possible. Working on the 36.
The 1936 Ford. Four-door.
Sedan.
Actually,
it's got a flathead V-type 8-cylinder engine. 221 cubic inches. 3 1/16 inch
bore.
Who's
sorting buttons?
3 3/16
Would that be you, Michelle?
Stroke.
What?
Craig, keep
going. Oh, it was ice.
Can Craig keep going? My nipples are getting hard. Please.
3 1/16 inch bore. 3 3/4 inch stroke.
Bore is right.
It's a 221 cubic inch V8 flathead configuration. 21 studs hold the iron cylinder heads to the iron block.
There's not going
to
be any studs in
it's
that car.
It's an early engine. Water pumps mounted in the cylinder heads. They changed that for 37, moved them onto the block so that they would push cool water into the engine rather than trying to suck hot water out of the top. 36 was also the transition year between Babbitt main bearings and shell style insert main bearings, which happened at the latter half of 1936. So I haven't cracked mine open yet. I don't know if I've got the Babbitt or the insert. Let's keep our fingers crossed for the insert bearings for easier serviceability.
Oh my God, I need play 'em off music.
I know.
Don't miss your chance to win 100.
Ben, I know, Ben. You just feel sorry for the autistic ones.
Interruption. Sorry, I'm coughing. Ooh. Don't miss your chance to win $100 by listening to Roundabout on your smartphone using Stitcher. Just go to stitcher.com/roundabout. Then when you register your account, don't forget to enter the promotion code Roundabout, and one of our lucky listeners will win $100 each month. So please do that. Coming up next week, as we've alluded to several times this episode, show number 100. Don't want to miss it. Lots of important news coming up with that. Remember, you can watch Roundabout live every Friday evening starting around 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time or 3:30 on the West Coast. Of course, if you can time travel, that would help, too. And don't forget to check out the rest of the Autoline family of fine programs, including Autoline This Week, Autoline After Hours, and, of course, Autoline Daily. All of which are available on our website, autoline.tv.
And next week is
Open Line Program.
With guest?
Michelle Naranjo, host.
Pete Raskovich. And this week, Chelsea's going to be calling in, and we have a special guest host, Aaron Bragman from IHS.
Brilliant. Yeah.
Very exciting. Pip, pip, cheerio.
That will be a fun one. So join us. Just check out autoline.tv for the phone number. And
all the body details.
It's the show where you rule the Autoline airwaves.
For at least a portion of it.
Or as we like to say, car talk that talks back.
Who coined right. that clever
until
phrase?
I get mad and mute everybody.
Right.
Oh, well, we don't want that. So if you want to get in touch with us, leave us you got a question or a comment you want addressed, call us on our ROAB hotline. It's a Google Voice number, and the digits are 1-559-ROAB-411 in numbers. That is 1-559-762-2411. Go ahead, get a piece of paper to write that down. I'll wait. All right, are you ready?
Okay.
Very good. That is 1-559-762-2411. Don't miss us on Twitter, twitter.com/roundaboutshow, and of course Facebook as well, facebook.com/roundaboutshow. And if you never want to miss an action-packed episode, and Ben, frankly, who doesn't?
I don't
You can
know,
subscribe
Craig.
On iTunes or the Zune Marketplace if you've got a Windows Phone 7. Now running Mango, latest software update. Don't mean to toot my own horn. Anyway, thanks to all of you out there listening. Please join us again next week as we circle the roundabout. We'll talk to you then.
Oh, taking it to the max.
That one's just for
Scott in Cleveland.
Yes, Scott in Cleveland.
Scott with cleavage in Cleveland.
Oh, numero two.
Well, good show, guys.
Senor.
It's not done
just
yet. Jesus Christ, what's going on?
Craig, can you say Guinness instead of Guinness?
With Guinness? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
I forgot. That's a nice callback.
Yeah.
I like it.
The Guinness World Record.
I said that.
Yes, you did.
Yes, you did, Michelle. Very good.
I recall.
Well, all right.
Do we have something else we can do with cars?
All right, well.
I wonder if there is.
Gosh almighty.
Let's play a game. Come on, y'all. Let's play a game.
How about cribbage? How about we play a game of pause until we get that? And Ben will mark it.
Mark it.
Sorry.
We'll cut the last half hour out.
The Marx Brothers.
And what a tight show this is.
Get the lube. We even had face lube, too.
Oh, God.